So recently I was helping teach a class on spiritual direction, and one of the other priests teaching it has almost a decade of ordination and experience on me, and he'd compiled a list. We were talking to people preparing to be spiritual directors about obstacles that you may encounter in spiritual directees, obstacles to their authentic relationship with Jesus. And one of them really stood out to me because I'd encountered it but never been really able to put a name to it. And it may sound strange at first, but the way that it was phrased is you may occasionally have spiritual directees who have an unreasonable cheerfulness. And you may go, well, that's really kind of strange, Father. But part of the reason that strikes us as strange to hear that is because there is this false image that is given to us as Christians that if we're going to follow Jesus, everything should make us happy. We should always be cheerful. And so if we buy into that false image, that lie of what it means to have joy, then it actually becomes an obstacle to encountering the Lord, because then any time that we encounter darkness or difficulty, we can't integrate it into our heart, into our relationship with the Lord, and so it becomes this kind of shadow land that we're just unable to look at and don't want God looking at because we think that it is a failure to be His disciple. So we want to avoid that on this Gaudete Sunday as we hear the church's command to rejoice, as we hear the Spirit speaking through St. Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians. Yes, he says, rejoice always. But then he gives us, I'd say, at least two things that are important for making progress in authentic joy. Pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks. Both of those may seem beyond our reach. So I want us today to reflect on what it means to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all circumstances, because it doesn't mean what we think it means, which is just kind of white-knuckling it through both of these things. Pray without ceasing. I don't think any of us would deny the truth that our young people are incredibly busy. I look back, having graduated high school something like 15 years ago, and I look at what high schoolers now are dealing with, and it is an entirely different world in terms of how busy it is. I was just interacting this week, actually, though, with one of our high schoolers, and they said something very profound. They had been listening to a reflection, and they were convicted of the truth when they said, you know, I might be tempted to say I'm too busy to pray, but the reality is I'm not. I make time for plenty of other things. And that's kind of the thought that I have as well, and that I've challenged myself on as well. Okay, well, I say I'm too busy to pray, but what other stuff in my life am I making time for? Because our litany kind of begins with, well, you know what? I have to be able to be attentive to my job. I have to take care of the kids. I have to be able to get enough sleep. I have to do, yeah, all of those things are in fact necessary and important. God asks us to do those things, to be attentive to our vocation. But what about all of the other stuff that we make space for? Low-hanging fruit, of course, is how much time are we spending on media, devices, things that are kind of cheap entertainment. It's not always all bad, but there's definitely some time for prayer in there that we could carve out. And we can go down the schedule of our day and go, what are the gaps that I'm filling in? Not with things that are necessary, but things that are noise, things that are distractions, that I have somehow bought this bill of goods saying, I'm so busy, I don't even have time to pray. If we desire to go to that place of praying always, praying without ceasing, we need to begin by praying sometimes. Sometimes we make the perfect, pray without ceasing, the enemy of the good. I have no idea how I'd pray without ceasing, so why even bother? it's not good enough for me to be able to pray for 5 minutes. That's not going to make God happy, so why would I even do that? Even myself, you know, as a priest, should have your daily holy hour. I was talking with my spiritual director, and I realized that I was doing just that. I was going, I've had a few days where I've kind of skipped this because, you know, I only had 40 minutes. And then it kind of struck me, I'm like, well, I'm fairly certain the Lord would prefer 40 minutes of my time to 0 minutes of my time. So probably take those 40 minutes, the days that those are there, and give them to Him. So can we look through our lives and go, where are the moments where I can at least say each day, I pray sometimes? That's the place for us to begin, knowing that, sure, the goal is to pray without ceasing. We'll come back to that. In all circumstances, give thanks. So again, this is not, my life sounds like a bad country music song, but hey, thanks God for all of that bad stuff. My car broke down, my dog ran away, nobody likes me anymore. This is just wonderful. No, that's not what we're being asked to do. Much like praying sometimes is better than not praying at all, being intentional about gratitude first for the things that are good is important. And that means spending a little more time than just dealing with the things that are obvious. You know, sometimes I'll ask folks, hey, how are you doing? Well, I'm on the right side of the grass. Okay, so there's a starting point. But what else is there in life that has been good? And again, not to set up the perfect as the enemy of the good. Like, I don't have anything huge. A miracle didn't seem to happen to me, so I don't know what I have to give thanks for. No, what was there a beautiful sunrise? Did you have a quiet moment with your spouse, with a child? Did your favorite song happen to come on the radio as you were going through Hy-V? We need to look around. What are the things that are good, that may be simple, that may be small, but to recognize, no, God actually does come that close. Because as we increase our awareness of God's closeness in those small good things, there's a kind of holy infection that takes place, and we're able to look for God in the stuff that maybe isn't so easy to find Him in. That we have a waiting spirit that says, I don't know how this makes sense. I don't know how this is good. But Lord, I at least try and look for You. And this is where we come to see that to live as St. Paul says, to live as the church commands, where we're able to rejoice always, it is outside of our natural power. We cannot make ourselves do it. We cannot make ourselves pray without ceasing. We cannot make ourselves give thanks in all circumstances. Instead, what we can do is dispose ourselves so that God can raise us up, because He ultimately didn't make us to live merely natural lives. He made us to live supernatural lives. And so if we prepare ourselves by at least praying sometimes, by at least giving thanks for small and good things that we increase our awareness of, then as we engage with the Lord day in and day out, we will find ourselves, without meaning to, praying more often and more intimately than we had before. We will find ourselves more attentive to God's presence, and in fact, maybe saying, well, that actually wasn't as awful as I thought it would be. Or, you know what, Lord, I somehow know You're still present, and I'm thankful for that, even though this thing has not gone the way I want it to. And all we have to do is look to the lives of the saints to see the supernatural fruit that comes from the right natural disposition of waiting for God. Whether we take St. Lawrence being grilled alive, able to say to his executioners, turn me over, I'm done on this side. Or the saints who in fact were long-suffering, didn't die martyrs quickly, but instead continued to pour their lives out, emptying themselves of riches or status or honor to love the poor. This is not something that they woke up one day and just said, I'm going to force myself to do this. Day in and day out, they prayed, offering what they could. Day in and day out, they looked for the Lord where they could see him. And they trusted day in and day out that God desired their good, and so they waited for him to raise them to that supernatural level. We are called to do the same thing. Joy is a gift that embraces all of the circumstances of our lives because God desires to be a part of all circumstances. So as we continue through what's left of this season of Advent, hearing this command to rejoice, may we look at our lives and ask, how can I pray just sometimes, each day, more intentionally? How can I make sure that I am creating space to reflect on my day and give thanks not just for the big good things, but the small ones? And then can I trust and wait that, like Jesus coming unexpectedly in the form of a human baby, he will come into my heart in a way I do not expect and raise me not to a false, affected cheerfulness, but a true and authentic joy.